attack this track, they slug. I shoot nigga from the hood and the pound gives up. You see, niggas wanna be down, but never came around. So back up before my nuts stop sweating the pound. You see, niggas get broke off like 1, 2, 3, cause I'm the VA to the hockey, the VA to the league. My G's like a tip to the junk ass Mac Daddy and the caddy, Hattie. Not knowing about the city where the niggas hang around. So I roll them up and hit them up with the motherfucking dog pound.
Gets more wicked than Beetlejuice.
On that Instagram at BackspinSXM. Of course, we are streaming live. SiriusXM.com/Backspin for all of our subscribers. You are in the middle of the Short Shot mix with the finish of Mr. C, representing Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York City. Let's go.
This track has some of the best E-40 noises.
Just get it. Yeah, I'm the elite. Keep it underground like street level. I'm rock and roll, that's my with a diamond belt.
Rap, camera, terror. BB, a new era off the Richter scale. Blowing hot in the ever with the squadron. Beg your pardon, got the heads nodding.
As you rolling, I might be. You the shit, you the sugar, honey, ice tea. What I...
The bias get rope, move so. I like to splurge and get designed with dope. Cool dough, I like to learn the business, science is bro.
Damn this shit. This shit where people fucking, where spammers call you from a phone number that looks like your own phone number, like same area code, same prefix, like this shit has got to stop.
Thank you.
really said it all.
Taxation. He's at Washburn University School of Law, Roger McGowan from Topeka, Kansas. Elsewhere, smartphone apps designed to help backyard farmers quickly diagnose plant problems took top prize at the 2017 Apps for Ag hosted by the University of California, their Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources, sharing more on the winning apps.
How can technology help farmers, gardeners, and consumers with food-related obstacles? Innovators and developers pitch their ideas for solving these problems at this year's Apps for Ag Hackathon. They were competing for a $10,000 grand prize and expertise from UC Agriculture and Natural Resources to turn those ideas into commercial enterprises. This year's winners created a smartphone app that uses artificial intelligence to diagnose plant problems such as nutrient deficiency or overwatering. The doctor is always in with the Dr. Green app for plants. Designed for a backyard farmer, Dr. Green can give advice immediately based on a photo or text message of symptoms.
So he can just take the photo of the leaf and send it, and he would get a reply as to what to do.
To reduce food waste, the second place team also created a smartphone app that quickly diagnoses plant disease. The grower takes a photo of a leaf, then the Greener app provides the grower with integrated pest management recommendations. The third place team aims to promote agritourism with the Farm Table app. By bringing consumers to farms, the team hopes to teach consumers where their food comes from and to create additional revenue for farmers.
The Apps for Ag Hackathon is an event that happens over a 48-hour period. This year's was in Sacramento, California, with the judging at the California State Fair. It brings together entrepreneurs, students, programmers, agriculture experts, and brings them together over that period to really create innovative solutions in a very short time frame to really improve the food system, our environment, and the economics for all Californians related to food, agriculture, and natural resources. There was an amazing range of applications this year.
UCANR connects entrepreneurs and developers to resources to turn ag tech ideas from concept to reality with a long-term goal of improving our food systems.
Video provided by our friends at the University of California's Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources. For more information on apps for agriculture and other events, you can visit...
I want more information on apps. Where do I go for that? Literally anywhere? That's okay, all right.
A potential lawsuit or just ahead.
Beware, beware, beware of a woman with a broken heart. watch, I'm rich. I can rock a fool, rich.
Play as fuck up, my bad.
Scooter reptilians, you spit.
Nominations came out last night, and our very own Liquid Todd is nominated for Best Radio Show for Beta BPM. And if you missed the brand new episode of Beta BPM last night, you can...
So that PC version of Rez came out today. Like, they just announced and released it. It's good. It's a good-ass version of that game. You know, they've got kind of, you know, it'll launch and ask you if you want to launch a desktop or Oculus or Vive. And yeah, it's got, you know, I turned it all up to like, you know, 200% rendering resolution and all that stuff and you know, runs pretty fucking good. It was the first... I hadn't played through Area X since the launch of the PlayStation VR. Like, I played through it once then. I played through it the first time in a hotel room in VR before the game came out. Thing's fucking cool. You know, now that this is out and I'm having trouble envisioning them spending much more time bringing Res Infinite to more platforms. I mean, I guess they could do an Xbox One version at this point. You know, they wouldn't be VR, but so, I don't know. I mean, you would hope that now this is where they start ramping up to a proper sequel to Rez. I was super excited to play Rez again. They sent it over last week, and you know, it was surprising. Like, oh yeah, I guess that would come to PC at some point. Here, oh yeah, okay, great. I would love to play it right now. Yes. And I was extremely excited to play Rez again, or to have like a good reason to play Rez again. I didn't end up going through all five levels. I just kind of played the first few in and out of VR. Fucked around with the settings and that sort of stuff. I feel a very strong connection to Rez. I always have. It's, even before the game came out, there was just something about its look and style and everything that... an old concept of synesthesia that, yeah, I don't know, just, spoke to me in a way the games don't. Most games certainly don't, and I don't know, it's always, ever since then, it's just always kind of been there, and I think about Rez a lot as a result. Still. Yeah, yes, Rez is worth playing. I, you know, that's the part where I have to rein it in and say, like, you know, it's a Panzer Dragoon style, like, lock-on rail shooter thing, you know, like the, if you, when you break it down to its actual individual elements, like, it's very easy to play. I could see someone playing it and not really getting why it matters, and and I could definitely see, I don't think it's for everyone. I think definitely there are people that would come away from Rez going like, well, yeah, it's this, like, not, it's this five level game that's not especially difficult. And yeah, now what? So, you know, it's, that bit can be hard for me to reconcile at times. Doesn't use random USB devices. It'll, there is an option for, like, use other controllers as transvibrator style things in the settings. I did not actually try it out to see, like, how compatible it is or isn't. But there is at least an option for additional vibration. I should pull out my transvibrator and see if it works on the PC. That would be pretty rad. I don't know, it's a lot of cables to crawl under there and disconnect and reconnect and stuff, but I was thinking, like, you know, one of the other kind of big deals about, well, I don't know how big a deal it is really, but, you know, this version goes to 4K, so I was thinking, like, oh, I wonder, you know, what, how would Rez look running at 4K? Probably pretty good. I don't know, how much better would it look at 4K compared to, what is it, 2560 by 1600, but running at 200%, like, super sampling or whatever. Like, how much better is it going to look on a TV or whatever? But if it did HDR, that would be something. Probably look pretty good on that TV. But then the fucking, you know, the PS4 Pro runs that game pretty well, too. It's not some huge powerhouse thing. So, and the VR is really good. It's a different. They've got new difficulty options in there too for this version. Because I guess that when you play it in VR on the PS4, it is like slightly easier. So they have a dynamic, a separate setting for difficulty for VR where you can kind of switch it back to the standard res difficulty and still be in VR. I'm not sure what the actual difference is there. That's the other weird thing. It's like, you know, for as much time over the last 15 plus years, you know, whatever it's been, that I have thought about res, enjoyed res, all that stuff, I never played it enough to memorize it. Like, I always kind of came and went with res in a way that kept it fresh. Like, I never wanted to obsess over each individual level and dial it all the way in, you know? Is it a worse experience out of VR? I mean, you know, it's originally a Dreamcast game, you know? So, it's... VR definitely adds a lot to res. It's kind of profound. But I still enjoy it quite a bit outside of VR. And Area X is this really crazy thing, you know, the new level they made, it's really wild to see someone sit down and go like, okay, let's make a new chunk of res and think about what that could look like today, today's technology, all that other stuff, and the way they... I mean, the art, the quality of the experience and stuff is like really incredible. It's crazy that, you know, because you'd think like, oh, they're gonna make additional res and tack it on to base res. It'll probably I don't know if you can go back to like, no, they could very much make more res. And that Area X stuff gives you actual like flight control over, you know, you have a more control over your movement. Like a lot of it is still kind of on a rail, but you can stop. And there are kind of these bowl areas, these, you know, kind of boss fight areas that are, you know, you can kind of fly around. And being able to have like any kind of free range of movement in res was a really wild thing to see for the first time. I was like, man, that's yeah, it was, yeah, profound. And you know what, they have a studio, you know, they have people now, they, you know, like people work there still, and I would hope that they would go on to make another game. And not just, well, we came together to put out some versions of Res again, and that's it. Or, you know, I don't know. I feel like that, I always get it confused. Is it Child of Eden? The Kinect game? Never really did the same thing. And that was kind of as close to like a new res as you got, you know, for a long time. It wasn't really the same thing, but I just, that game never played well enough. Like, you know, you didn't have to use Kinect to play it. But it just, I never felt right. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, you come at that going like, oh, it's the new game from Mizuguchi, and it's, you know, kind of got these notes of res throughout it, and all that. Like, approaching of that, like, the bar is very high, and I just don't think that game did it. I remember finding that game pretty disappointing, and didn't finish it. It ended up being kind of boring. But Area X does it. Area X actually, and maybe it is just as simple as like, hey, this looks and feels like Rez. Like, it is the forms of Rez. It is taking the shape of Rez. It is counting you down as you go from layer to layer. You know, like, it is doing the Rez stuff. Maybe it is that easy. But also, like, man. Tunnel is fucked up today. Tunnel bad.
Now broadcasting from SiriusXM New York, SXM Electro, resident DJ producer, Gorgeous. This, so Gorgeous. Now, for more info, Google SiriusXM Electro.
Come along now. Watch your step.
You are now entering the House of Orcus.
This is Borges. We're here live from Times Square, New York. SiriusXM Radio. This is House of Borges. Tickets and phone calls to fans. All that good fun stuff. We've got some new music, some other music from all over the world. Tickets and phone.
Yeah, justifying like actually like getting into VR is a hard. Is still hard.
So getting right into it. This is House of Borges.
And I feel like the people that are like all in on VR really don't like to hear people say that. But I still pretty firmly believe it is amazing. It is also still pretty expensive, and I think a lot of the software is bad, or, you know, bad in a way that, like, you know, like it's for early adopters. Like, it's very much like you could easily find a way to love VR. There's enough stuff out there that, like, if you're the sort of person that wants to fucking try shit out first and all that stuff, like, you'll have a great time with it. It's amazing. But if you're, like, a reasonable person, like a, you know, kind of, you know, trying to be at least, like, a little thrifty here and there, or, you know, value conscious in any way, shape, or form, I think that it's very easy to see VR as, you know, a boondoggle. And, you know, everyone will meet in the middle on that stuff eventually. The stuff will get cheaper, better. More people will have time to develop games for VR in a way that it'll start to make more sense. You'll still have some people that just don't want to, you know, play games that are like that. And and whatever, and I think you'll still have people that treat it like it's mobile phones and just, like, refuse to ever engage with it out of some weird, like, rage. Those aren't real games. Yeah, okay. Thanks for being the gatekeeper on that one. But that shit is too cool to not find a way to get into people's hands. Yeah, whether it's like, hey, here's a way for you to, you know, go to a place and try a headset for an hour, because, like, ultimately, right, I mean, right now, you could do that a few times and see most of what you would want to see out of VR, you know? Without having to actually own a headset and all the other stuff. If you could just get your hands on one for a day, very focused day, you could see some really cool shit. Intelligent Cube in VR would be a nightmare. Yeah, the public VR and the keeping the headsets clean and all that stuff is certainly a concern. But, you know, people do the demos, and, like, you know, like, I do a lot of demos at shows and stuff, and, you know, everyone's got their alcohol pads and their, you know, multiple rings, and, you know, like, they've got stuff in place to try to clean it up for the next user already. That stuff exists, and if I were running a VR center where you went and rented time in VR, I would do it like the go-kart track near me does it, where you need a do-rag, you need like a scully, you need like a little, and they sell them there. To go between your hair and the helmet, because they don't want to, you know, they want to reuse the helmets and lice and all that stuff, you know. So they sell those, and then you have to wear one of those when you put the helmet on. So I would probably sell the foam rings, the outer, the part that gets sweaty on a VR headset. I would probably just sell those, forcibly sell those to people who came in, and then everyone brings their own thing and sweats into it, and then they remove it at the end, and then it's a little bit easier to just clean up the plastic than it is to constantly be swapping in brand new foam rings and washing them at the end of the day or whatever it is, you know. We'll be right back. Ah, the hits. Ah, here we go. Now smooth, I can get into. I'm here, so I'm gonna go. Have a grand Wednesday, and I will see you later.